Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Tuesday morning, so we are talking about getting healed. Our new topic that we're going to be talking about probably for the next little bit is about healing and forgiveness. There are a lot of misconceptions out there about both. And, of course, if you've got any questions, feel free to call in. The number is 718-664-6988, or you can always email me a question. Now, if you email me a question, I'll answer by email, and if it's something that others will also benefit from, I'll try to address during the program. Otherwise, if you want to have an actual conversation, you'll have to call in. Again, that number is 718-664-6988. We've talked before about forgiveness, but here it's coming in place of in our addressing healing. And unfortunately, people have looked for, we've developed ideas about the circumstances and the conditions under which God will heal us. And what we've done is come up with parameters and whether we want to call them excuses or not, but explanations for trying to get a handle on why God heals sometimes and doesn't heal others. So we can repeat those circumstances and control how God heals us. And when it comes down to it, that's the problem, is we want to control God. And that was really always the purpose of the law, from our standpoint, is the sense that if we knew God's expectations, we could, by our own strength, meet those expectations and receive the blessings, whether it was his protection or physical blessings, finances, treasure, safety, security. But we wanted to have a sense of control. And knowing the law, knowing what the expectations and standards were, gave us that sense of control. Unfortunately, for most of us, we did not come to the ultimate conclusion that regardless of our efforts at control, we could never, in our own strength, and no matter how much we tried to control God, meet those standards. Now, in our age, in this time, we don't have to. God himself already met those standards through his Son. And those standards being met have been fulfilled. The race is now over. That part of what God is doing on the earth is finished. And he started a new age, a new way of communing and dwelling with his new creations, you and I. That doesn't keep us, though, from trying to control God and, of course, ourselves and our circumstances, and trying to figure out how God does things so we can control him. Now, we may wonder, okay, if God has expectations and we want to meet them, and to meet them, we have to understand them, how is that control? Well, the basic premise is incorrect. God no longer has expectations. You have already met all those expectations. Our problem is we've only met them in our spirit. And our soul and our body is the same one we had before we became a Christian. Meeting God's expectations is like being pregnant. Either you are or you aren't. So meeting God's expectations in our spirit, either we did or we didn't. And we won't spend too much time. Hopefully we've gone through this enough where we understand that when we were born again, recreated, we became a spirit being that was born of God's spirit. And that seed brings forth of what it was made of, its source. You don't plant corn and get an elephant. You get corn. So like begets like, and spirit begets spirit. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. We are born of God. We are his seed. And that spirit, which we now are, we were always a spirit being. That's just our spirit was dead. So we are now a living spirit being. And as that living spirit being, we now have fully met in Christ. We were with him, in him, when we met every expectation that God had for us. This is why we can enter into that rest. So where is the battle? Where is the effort? It's in the soul and in the body. It's on this earth plane within the supernatural and natural realms. So every circumstance he's putting you in is to help you to learn to depend on the spiritual realm, rather than try to control him through the supernatural and sometimes even the natural realms. One of the explanations we use very often is in regards to why, when we have done everything we believe we are to do, God doesn't heal. God doesn't act the way we expect him to act. In other words, our efforts at control fail. And what happens is we think that, well, we just need to try harder, or we just need to come up with a different formula, or we're missing something. Or, and this is what we want to start talking about, is for some, we conclude that the we must be doing something wrong. There must be something hidden in our hearts. And one of those things we often fall back on is that there must be unforgiveness in our hearts. Now, I can unequivocally say that's not true. Because in your spirit, you have all the character of God. And God is a forgiving being. That is part of who He is. He doesn't decide to forgive. He is forgive. He doesn't decide to love. He is love. He doesn't decide to give. He is give. And because of that, we too share that nature and are forgiving and loving and giving by our nature. So we don't need to look at maybe there's something hidden. But because we have these misunderstandings of forgiveness, and you know, that's one of the things that keeps on popping up when we don't get the results we want. We say we don't have enough faith, or very often we must be harboring unforgiveness. So we want to spend some time on understanding forgiveness and how healing and forgiveness work. What we'll find is that it may not be that you're harboring unforgiveness. Well, it's not going to be that you're harboring unforgiveness. But if you believe you are, you're believing a lie. And that's a hindrance, can be a hindrance to what God wants to do in your life. When Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, every single sin was paid for, past, present, and future. Every sin that was committed before He was even born was paid for. Every sin that you haven't yet committed was paid for. We often think that it was the debt of sin that was forgiven, and that now God somehow excuses sin. But that is not what forgiveness was, and that's not what Jesus paid for. When Jesus was crucified and He died, Father God stamped the debt bill paid in full. It's not that God now overlooks our sin, but that every debt that you're still trying to pay for was already paid for 2,000 years ago. And that includes even the sins you haven't committed. So-called sins. That's why we say it's so-called sin, because they're not. They've already been paid for. Now they're mistakes. Sins separate you from God. Mistakes draw you closer. Before the crucifixion, sin was measured by how well a person's behavior measured up to that standard of law. But when Jesus met that standard by fulfilling the law, the definition of sin changed. Under grace, sin is no longer a matter of our behavior, but of our identity, of our nature. So now, our misunderstanding, our separation from God comes from are we living according to who we are now? Or are we still trying to measure up to the standard of the law through the strength or acceptability of our own behavior? As if we could do on our own what only Jesus could and did do 2,000 years ago. So, in essence, we are no longer sinners. That nature has been changed. But if we continue to try to fight that fight that's already been won, and if we're misbelieving about who we truly are, it's not that we're sinners, but we're hypocrites. We have received life, but we live a death life. We live out of our death image, that we are victims, that we haven't measured up. We have all the riches of heaven, but live as paupers. We have all the relationship with God, and yet live separate. We have already entered into the kingdom, yet strive to build it. So instead of being either a sinner or a saint, we live as hypocrites, pretending that we are still needing to accomplish something that has already been accomplished. You know, that bumper sticker, you know, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace," is a lie. You were a sinner. Once you were saved by grace, you're not a sinner anymore. You're a saint. We could go around starting to call each other a saint. Fred, Saint Julie, Saint Diane. That might get us a few looks, but that's who we truly are. You know, we talk about, you know, we've been talking a little bit about leadership. And we have, within different realms of influence, different titles. And that some of the common ones are evangelist and apostle and prophet and teacher and preacher and pastor and elder and whatever. What if we just all started using saint? Oh, but you're claiming then that you're perfect. Well, spiritually you are. And you can't sin. It's no longer in you to sin. Do you make mistakes? Absolutely. So what? That's not part of your nature. Only sinners can sin. You're not a sinner. But you can live as a hypocrite, contrary to who you are. You are an overcomer. If you are living as a victim, you're a hypocrite. You're believing a lie and acting accordingly. And one of the reasons we do this is because change is hard. And it takes effort and energy. And we lose control. But we're going to, one way or another, we're going to have to learn how to do that. The sooner we do, the easier it will be on us. Either we fall on the rock or the rock falls on us. Either way, we're going to get crushed. But knowing that, we can embrace what God is doing in our lives in this time and fall on the rock, joining Him in that process of bringing us into dependence on Him, giving up that control, learning to become overcomers, and recognizing that His nature is now our nature. And we are to live according to the truth of who we now are. We are not victims. We are overcomers. We are learning to rule and reign in this earth, in this age. So, on what basis do we seek forgiveness from God today? If forgiveness is asking Him to excuse or cover our sin, wasn't that already accomplished perfectly by Jesus 2,000 years ago? What then are we asking Him to do when we ask for forgiveness? Are we asking Him to do something He's already done? So what do we say when we make a mistake or come short of what we know He's asked us to do or come short of our true identity and recognize that? Well, you can come up with your own little phrase, but I always just say, whoops. Sometimes it's a yikes. That's it. We stumble. That's all it is. We stumble. And then we keep going. You know, you get your toe of your shoe caught in a crack, and it keeps you from moving forward in that steady pace. And you stumble, and you catch yourself, and you keep going. And sometimes the stumbles are bigger, and sometimes you even fall. But you pick yourself up. You know how to do that, right? You know how to just pick yourself up and keep going. You don't set up a tent there. You don't wail and mourn that you tripped or that you stumbled or that you fell. You might have even bruised yourself. So you go home, you wash it off, you put a Band-Aid on it. And you may even think, oh, I hope nobody saw that. But even if they did, so what? You stumbled. You tripped. You fell. Get back up. Now, if you keep on tripping and stumbling, you go, God, what? You know, do I need new glasses? Or I need new shoes? I need to practice walking more? You deal with what's causing you to stumble. You don't dwell on the stumble itself. So under grace, which is now for you and I, the need to ask forgiveness is no longer there. You are forgiven, lock, stock, and barrel for all time. It was done 2,000 years ago. We don't need to revisit. God's nature is forgiving in the sense of being unconditionally accepting of who and what we are now. And inasmuch that we have that same nature, we are born of his seed, born of his character. His character we also have. We also are forgiving people. God's nature is forgiving. So forgiveness no longer depends on the actions or attitude of the offending party. We forgive because we are a forgiving spirit being. It doesn't matter if we feel like it, if we want to, or if the other person deserves it. Forgiveness is now what and who we are. But what we have a tendency to do is hold on to wanting to be able to control others, to control ourselves through the whole sin and falling short of the glory of God. We did that. We all obviously fell short. But once we recognized it, God took us and he put us on the cross with Christ and changed us. And we no longer are sinners. You can't have it both ways. Either what Jesus did was once and for all, and we are now all reconciled unto him, or none of us are. There is no reconciliation. There is no unity. There is no completion. It's not available. His work was incomplete. He didn't do enough. You can't have it both ways. But what we have a tendency to do is hold on to our hurts. And sometimes it's comforting, or it gives us an excuse. So what we're going to do in the next few weeks on Tuesdays is go through the process of recognizing how we forgive as forgiving beings, because it doesn't depend on the other person. And for us, because we are forgiving people, we will see how we release others, not because they deserve it, but because that is our nature, to forgive, to release them, and to put them back into that position where they are free and clear in relationship with us unconditionally. Now, we'll talk about that doesn't mean that we continue to accept hurtful behavior. By forgiving someone, that doesn't excuse their behavior, and that doesn't free them from suffering the consequences of their behavior. They're two totally separate things. Consequences and forgiveness are two totally separate things. Likewise with us. We may make mistakes. We stumble and fall. And we suffer the consequences. Those consequences are not excused. But that has nothing to do with our sin nature, which we no longer have. Your nature was changed. Sin was paid for. Period. It's a done deal. So we'll get back to this next Tuesday morning. If you've got any questions, feel free to drop me a line at nc.diane@gmail.com. You can just go to the profile page to find all that information. I'd be happy to converse with you about this. So have a great day, and we will be getting back together again on Thursday morning at 7 a.m. And this has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.